Page 47. "Ye say well," said Sir Lancelot, "but ye are called so false and full of treason that no man may believe you." Reader's note. Note 1 appears after the word may. Text. "Forsooth is known well, and wherefore ye came into this country, and for none other cause but for to slay Sir Tristram." So with great dole King Mark and Sir Tristram rode together, for it was by Sir Tristram's will and his means to go with King Mark, and all was for the intent to see La Beale Isoud, for without the sight of her Sir Tristram might not endure. Chapter 23. How Sir Percival was made knight of King Arthur, and how a dumb maid spake and brought him to the Round Table. Now turn we again unto Sir Lamorack, and speak we of his brethren, Sir Tor, which was King Pellinore's first son, and begotten of Aerys' wife, the cowherd, for he was a bastard, and Sir Aglovale was his first son, begotten in wedlock. Sir Lamorack, Dornar, Percival, these were his sons too in wedlock. So when King Mark and Sir Tristram were departed from the court, there was made great dole and sorrow for the departing of Sir Tristram. Then the king and his knights made no manner of joys 8 days after. And at the 8 days' end there came to the court a knight with a young squire with him. And when this knight was unarmed, he went to the king and required him to make the young squire a knight. "Of what lineage is he come?" said King Arthur. "Sir," said the knight, "he is the son of King Pellinore, that did you some time good service, and he is brother unto Sir Lamorack de Gales, the good knight." "Well," said the king, "for what cause desire ye that of me, that I should make him a knight?" Page 48. "Wit you well, my lord the king, that this young squire is brother to me as well as to Sir Lamorack, and my name is Aglovale." "Sir Aglovale," said Arthur, "for the love of Sir Lamorack, and for his father's love, he shall be made knight to-morrow." "Now tell me," said Sir Arthur, "what is his name?" "Sir," said the knight, "his name is Percival de Gales." So on the morn the king made him knight in Camelot. But the king and all the knights thought it would be long, or that he proved a good knight. Then at the dinner, when the king was set at the table, and every knight after he was of prowess, the king commanded him to be set among mean knights. And so was Sir Percival set as the king commanded. Then there was a maiden in the queen's court that was come of high blood, and she was dumb and never spake word. Right so she came straight into the hall, and went unto Sir Percival, and took him by the hand, and said aloud, that the king and all the knights might hear it, "Arise, Sir Percival, the noble knight and God's knight, and go with me." And so he did. And there she brought him to the right side of the Siege Perilous, and said, "Fair knight, take here thy siege, for that siege appertaineth to thee and to none other." Right so she departed, and asked a priest, and as she was confessed and houseled, then she died. Then the king and all the court made great joy of Sir Percival. Chapter 24. How Sir Lamorack lay with King Lot's wife, and how Sir Gaheris slew her, which was his own mother. Now turn we unto Sir Lamorack, that much there was to pray was praised. Then by the mean of Sir Gawain and his brethren, they sent for their mother there besides, fast by a castle beside Camelot, and all was to that intent to slay Sir Lamorack. Footnote this page, the word houseled, H-O-U-S-E-L-L-E-D, means given the sacrament. Text. Page 49. The Queen of Orkney was there but a while, but Sir Lamorack wist of her being, note 1, and was full fain. And for to make an end of this matter, he sent unto her, and there betwixt them was a knight assigned that Sir Lamorack should come to her. Thereof was where Sir Gaheris, and there he rode afore the same knight, and waited upon Sir Lamorack. And then he saw where he came all armed, and where Salamarak alit, he tied his horse to a privy postern, and so he went into a parlour and unarmed him, and then he went unto the queen's bed, and she made of him passing great joy, and he of her again, for either loved other passing sore. So when the knight Sir Gaheris saw this time, he came to their bedside all armed, with his sword naked, and suddenly gat his mother by the hair, and struck off her head. When Sir Lamorak saw the blood gush upon him all hot, the which he loved passing well, wit you well he was sore abashed and dismayed of that dolorous knight. And therewithal Sir Lamorak leapt out of the bed in his shirt, as a knight dismayed, saying thus, "Ah, Sir Gaheris, knight of the Round Table, foul and evil have ye done, and to you great shame. Alas, why have ye slain your mother that bare you? What more right ye should have slain me?" The offence hast thou done," said Gaheris, "notwithstanding a man is born to offer his service. But yet shouldst thou beware with whom thou meddlest, for thou hast put me and my brethren to a shame, and thy father slew our father, and thou to lie by our mother is too much shame for us to suffer. And as for thy father, King Pellinore, my brother Sir Gawain and I slew him." "Ye did him the more wrong," said Sir Lamorak, "for my father slew not your father. It was Balin the Savage. And as yet my father's death is not revenged." "Leave those words," said Sir Gaheris, "for an thou speak feloniously I will slay thee. But because thou art naked, I am ashamed to slay thee. But wit thou well, in what place I may get thee, I shall slay thee. And now my mother is quit of thee, and withdraw thee, and take thine armour, that thou were gone." Page 50. Sir Lamorak saw there was none other boot, but fast armed him, and took his horse, and rode his way, making great sorrow. But for the shame and dolour, he would not ride to King Arthur's court, but rode another way. But when it was known that Gaheris had slain his mother, the king was passing wroth, and commanded him to go out of his court. Wit ye well Sir Gawain was wroth that Gaheris had slain his mother, and let Sir Lamorak escape. And for this matter was the king passing wroth, and so was Sir Lamorak, and many other knights. "Sir," said Sir Lancelot, "there is a great mischief befallen by felony and by forecast treason, that your sister is thus shamefully slain, and I dare say that it was wrought by treason, and I dare say ye shall lose that good knight, Sir Lamorak, the which is great pity. I wot well, and am sure, and Sir Tristram wist it, he would never more come within your court, the which good grieve you much more, and all your knights." "God defend," said the noble King Arthur, "that I should lose Sir Lamorak or Sir Tristram, for then twain of my chief knights of the Round Table were gone." "Sir," said Sir Lancelot, "I am sure ye shall lose Sir Lamorak, for Sir Gawain and his brethren will slay him by one mean or another, for they among them have concluded and sworn to slay him, and ever they may see their time." "That shall I let," said Arthur. Chapter 25. How Sir Agravaine and Sir Mordred met with a knight fleeing, and how they both were overthrown, and of Sir Dinadan. Now leave we of Sir Lamorak, and speak of Sir Gawain's brethren, and specially of Sir Agravaine and Sir Mordred. As they rode on their adventures, they met a knight fleeing, sore wounded, and they asked him, "What tidings?" Page 51. "Fair knights," said he, "here cometh a knight after me that will slay me." With that came Sir Dinadan, riding to them by adventure, but he would promise them no help. But Sir Agravaine and Sir Mordred promised him to rescue him. Therewithal came that knight straight unto them, and anon he proffered to joust. That saw Sir Mordred, and rode to him, but he struck Mordred over his horse's tail. That saw Sir Agravaine, and straight he rode toward that knight. And right so as he served Mordred, so he served Agravaine, and said to them, "Sirs, wit ye well both, that I am Brunis sans pite, that hath done this to you." And yet he rode over Agravaine 5 or 6 times. When Dinadan saw this, he must needs joust with him for shame. And so Dinadan and he encountered together, that with pure strength Sir Dinadan smote him over his horse's tail. Then he took his horse and fled, for he was on foot one of the valiantest knights in Arthur's days, and a great destroyer of all good knights. Then rode Sir Dinadan unto Sir Mordred and unto Sir Agravaine. "Sir knight," said they all, "well have ye done, and well have ye revenged us. Wherefore we pray you tell us your name." "Fair sirs, ye ought to know my name, the which is called Sir Dinadan." When they understood that it was Dinadan, they were more wroth than they were before, for they hated him out of measure because of Sir Lamorak. For Dinadan had such a custom that he loved well all good knights that were valiant, and he hated all those that were destroyers of good knights. And there were none that hated Dinadan, but those that ever were called murderers. Then spake the hurt knight that Brunis sans pité had chased. His name was Dalan, and said, "If thou be Dinadan, thou slewest my father." "It may well be so," said Dinadan, "but then it was in my defence, and at his request." Page 52. "By my head," said Dalan, "thou shalt die therefore." And therewith he dressed his spear and his shield. And to make the shorter tale, Sir Dinadan smote him down off his horse, that his neck was nigh broken. And in the same wise he smote Sir Mordred and Sir Agravaine. And after, in the quest of Sangreal, cowardly and feloniously they slew Dinadan, the which was great damage, for he was a great boarder and a passing good knight. And so Sir Dinadan rode to a castle that hight Beal Valley. And there he found Sir Palomides, that was not yet whole of the wound that Sir Lamorak gave him. And there Dinadan told Palomides all the tidings that he heard and saw of Sir Tristram, and how he was gone with King Mark. Quote, "And with him he hath all his will and desire." Unquote. Therewith Sir Palomides waxed wroth, for he loved La Beale Isoud. And then he wist well that Sir Tristram enjoyed her. Chapter 26. How King Arthur, the Queen, and Lancelot received letters out of Cornwall, and of the answer again. Now leave we Sir Palomides and Sir Dinadan in the castle of Beal Valley, and turn we again unto King Arthur. There came a knight out of Cornwall. His name was Fergus, a fellow of the Round Table. And there he told the king and Sir Lancelot good tidings of Sir Tristram, and there were brought goodly letters, and how he left him in the castle of Tintagel. Then came the damosel that brought goodly letters unto King Arthur and unto Sir Lancelot, and there she had passing good cheer of the king and of the queen Guinevere and of Sir Lancelot. Then they wrote goodly letters again, but Lancelot bade ever Sir Tristram beware of King Mark, for ever he called him in his letters King Fox, as who saith, "He fareth all with wiles and treason," whereof Sir Tristram in his heart thanked Sir Lancelot. Then the damosel went unto La Beale Isoud, and bare her letters from the king and from Sir Lancelot, whereof she was in passing great joy. Page 53. "Fair damosel," said La Beale Isoud, "how fareth my lord Arthur and the queen Guinevere and the noble knight Sir Lancelot?" She answered, and to make short tale, "Much the better that ye and Sir Tristram shall be in joy." "God reward them," said La Beale Isoud, "for Sir Tristram suffereth great pain for me, and I for him." So the damosel departed, and brought letters to King Mark. And when he had read them, and understood them, he was wroth with Sir Tristram, for he deemed that he had sent the damosel unto King Arthur. For Arthur and Lancelot, in a manner, threatened King Mark. And as King Mark read these letters, he deemed treason by Sir Tristram. "Damosel," said King Mark, "will ye ride again and bear letters from me unto King Arthur?" "Sir," she said, "I will be at your commandment to ride when ye will." "Ye say well," said the king. "Come again," said the king, "to morn, and fetch your letters." Then she departed and told them how she should ride again with letters unto Arthur. "Then we pray you," said La Beale Isoud, and Sir Tristram, that when ye have received your letters, that ye would come by us, that we may see the privity of your letters. All that I may do, madam, ye wot well I must do for Sir Tristram, for I have been long his own maiden. So on the morn the damosel went to King Mark to have had his letters and to depart. I am not advised, said King Mark, as at this time to send my letters. Then privily and secretly he sent letters unto King Arthur, and unto Queen Guinevere, and unto Sir Lancelot. So the varlet departed, and found the king and queen in Wales, at Caerleon. And as the king and queen were at mass, the varlet came with the letters. And when mass was done, the king and queen opened the letters privily by themselves.